Missed 1 Samuel chapter 30. Don't you love those times in life when you're really enjoying God's blessings, you're experiencing God's joy? Don't you love those times when you love the life you live? Everything's going well, but there are other times when life is challenging, when it's drudgery and when it's hard work, when you have to search out for the smallest bit of happiness. It's unfortunate that so many people have a difficult time enjoying life, but that is life. Things come up and things happen. Many things can weigh a person down to the point that they get bitter. And all of us have to admit that there's times when we struggle with maintaining happiness, with maintaining joy in our life. The good news is that God's Word offers you insight on all these areas. God's Word offers you help to overcome life's challenges, that those things that overwhelm you. Because God does not want you to face your life in discouragement. He wants you to face it with enthusiasm and with joy and with confidence. He wants you to be encouraged. He wants you to experience a life, as he put it, more abundantly. We've been observing David in his discouragement, and when you're discouraged, you make really bad choices. We saw that in David's life, and in fact, David made some really, really dumb, bonehead choices in the past short time of just the last couple of chapters here. And today we're going to deal with one of the outcomes or one of the examples of the consequences of his bad choices. He found himself desperately in need of encouragement. You ever found yourself there? Desperately in need of encouragement? A mother watched her son begin to be discouraged. He'd lost even the desire to get out of bed. One morning she hears through the door of his room his alarm clock going off and him hitting the snooze and it going off again and him hitting the snooze. By the way, thank God for snooze buttons. Can I get an amen on that? You plan and pack for camp. You make sure you take everything along with you that you need. And this week I had my snooze button along. I was grateful for that this week. But finally, after three or four times, she stuck her head through the door and said, "Son, it is time for you to get up." He peeks out from underneath the covers and he says, "Give me one good reason why I should get out of bed this morning." She says, "I'll do better than that. I'll give you three." Number one, she says, "It's Sunday and it's time for you to get up and go to church this morning." Number two, she said, "You're 43 years old. You're old enough that I don't have to wake you up anymore." And she said, number three, "You're the pastor. Everybody expects you to be there this morning." And sometimes every one of us need encouragement, no matter who you are. And to catch ourselves up on the story here, David has defected to the Philistines for protection. He was tired of trusting God. He was tired of the battle. He was tired of his own people trying to kill him. He was tired of all the struggle that he was going through. And so he decided to go over to Gath, which incidentally happens to be where the Philistine was from, Goliath that he killed years before. He decides to go over to Gath for protection, to join himself with Achish. One thing that I find interesting, that this happened right after Saul had promised him that he would no longer hunt for him. Now, I understand Saul had said this before and he was lying, but I wonder how many times in our life we allow discouragement to help make us or to allow us to make really bad decisions just on the cusp of us having victory, just as the things are about to turn the corner, and we allow discouragement to send us the wrong direction. He asks for a place, and Achish gives him a place called Ziklag. And so David lives there for 16 to 18 months, and while he's there, he attacks the enemies of God's people, but he tells Achish that he's attacking Judah and Israel. And to cover up his tracks, the Bible says that he kills every man, woman, and child so that nobody's able to report to Achish what he's actually doing. Achish all this time thinks, "Hey, this guy is all mine." In fact, he said this, "He hath made his people Israel utterly to abhor him." Then the Philistines decide to go to battle against Israel. And David and his men, as they're gathered at Aphek, are with the Philistine, all the Philistines ready to battle against David's own people. Now, I can't imagine what's going through David's mind at this time. They're about to attack Israel. He's never actually done it. He said he has, but he hasn't actually attacked his own people. Some of the Philistine commanders come to Achish, and they ask the question, what are these three? What are these Hebrews doing here amongst us? We're about to fight the Hebrews, and you've got a Hebrew battalion essentially here. And Achish says, oh, this is David. Remember, he is on our side. He's proven himself over and over, and he said he's on our side. And they come back to Achish. Achish, do you know who he is? He's the one that killed Goliath. He's the one that made songs up about. He's the one that was the hero in all Israel. There's no way we're going to battle with David and his men. So Achish came back to David. David, I'm sorry, but you can't go to battle with us. And so David asks why, which is confusing to me. You'd think David said, okay, cool, and left. But no, he said, why? Why can't I go to battle with you? And he explained, my commanders don't trust you. I'd love to have you with me, but my commanders don't trust you. This is all in the previous chapter. You can read about it. I'm just trying to sum it up for you. And it's interesting to me, though, that even the world does not trust a compromising Christian. David left his people, went to the world for help, and he found that he was rejected by not only God's people, but soon he learned that the people of the world did not want him either. No one trusts a compromising Christian. David is now a man without a people. He's a man without a country. And by the way, how God protected David here by arranging things so that he did not have to go to battle against his own people. I don't know what his plan was. I don't know, maybe he thought he would attack from behind, or I don't know what his plans were. Hopefully not to go actually and fight against Israel. But God protected him. He had to go home. He was a man without a country. His own people of Israel, or Saul's people at least, wanted to kill him. Now his host country wanted nothing to do with him. He sets for home in humiliation, but it's about to get much, much worse. Read with me if you would. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse number 1. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire. And they had taken the women captives that were therein, and they slew not any, neither great nor small, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came, by the way, they wouldn't know at this time nobody was slain, because they didn't see what happened. But David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons, for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject for a few minutes here. Sit yourself down. Sit yourself down. Father, I pray, you know my heart. You know I've wrestled and studied and thought much and prayed much for this message today, because it's so needed in my life. It's needed in many others' lives here today. Lord, help us to rightly divide the word of truth here. Help for you to speak through your word. Help us to respond. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So David and his men covered about 25 miles a day as they came from Aphek to Ziklag. They would soon arrive home hungry, expecting, you know how it is when you're traveling and you've went through some difficulty and you're looking forward to the comforts of home. As he and his men near Ziklag, they see something in the far distance that sends a little bit of a worry up their spine. They see smoke rising up and from a distance. I don't know if you've ever seen that from a far away, and you wonder, may I hope that's not my house. I hope that's not our area there. I'm sure everything will be fine, but everything was not fine. As they came into their town, they were filled with shock and horror at what they saw. It was empty. Everything was on fire. Nobody was there anymore. Their families were gone. Their possessions were gone. There were no bodies there, but there were signs of struggle everywhere. The Amalekites had come, had taken their wives, their children, their possessions, and had burned the village to the ground. Nothing was left. The Amalekites were, by the way, one of those places that David had attacked and pretended that he was attacking God's people. He had attacked the Amalekites and he had killed everyone to keep them from talking. And now the chickens have come home to roost. David never meant anything like this to happen. He had made some bad choices. He had taken some wrong turns, but he expected nothing like this. Can I tell you today, friend, that you can make your own choices. You're free to do that. But you cannot choose your consequences. You can make your choices, but you cannot choose the consequences. And so David had made some bad choices, and now he's dealing with the consequences. And he's completely overwhelmed. The text said that he and his men wept until they could not weep anymore. Imagine coming home and everything was burned. The Bible says they slew not any, but again, they wouldn't know that at this time. These men, all they know is everybody is missing. You ever weep so much? He had no more tears. The Bible says the soul of all the people was grieved. That Hebrew word for the word grieved literally means to be bitter. Their sorrow, their bitterness soon turned to anger. Don't forget, David suffered just like everybody else. All his men suffered. His family was gone too. His possessions were gone too. But they were holding him responsible for the disaster. So these men that followed David anywhere, they had followed David to be hunted by the king. They had followed David as he was went into the enemy camp. They had followed David everywhere. Now they're so angry, they're picking up rocks, or ready to pick up rocks, and bounce them off their leader's body until he is dead. It happens in every crisis. Blame starts to be passed around. Sometimes when life throws you a curveball, you'll be tempted to do what David's men did and look around for who we can blame for the trouble and who we can punish for it. Taking it out on someone else, misery loves company. In the midst of our despair, instead of seeking God's face, it's so easy to respond to the flesh. It's so easy to get angry and bitter and lash out at other people. And you are hurting, and so in response, you hurt someone else. It's a fact of life. Hurt people, hurt people. And so we need to be careful. Problem is that after the crisis passes, then you have to deal with the actions that you committed while you're in the crisis. We need to be careful. I ask you today, do yourself a favor. When trouble comes, be very careful of your actions and of your words, because often you have to deal with them later. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, I make no secret about this. I love the local church. I think everyone ought to go to church. Amen? I think everybody ought to go to church on a regular basis. By the way, I'm a big believer on three to thrive. I think you ought to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Some of the sweetest services we have are on Sunday night and Wednesday night as we gather here and open God's Word. In local church, you can grow in your spiritual life. You can have the fellowship and the help of other believers. You are part of the family of God in the local church. Family. That group of people that stays with you through thick and thicker. Amen? Family. It's like the branches of a tree. We grow in different directions, but we all have the same root. Amen. And so the local church ought to be like that. And I'm grateful that in this church we have so many people that have the gift of encouragement. You know, when you send out a text or a verse and I'm praying for you today or I'm thinking of you today, you have no idea what that does to lift somebody's heart and lift somebody's spirit. And I'm grateful for that role that so many of you play. And I encourage you today to be an encourager. You may not have any other position in the church, no other ability, but you can be an encourager. I think of Barnabas in the New Testament. You remember Saul, who later became Paul, arguably the greatest Christian that ever lived. And what you remember what happened when Saul got saved? Saul got saved. He was the one that was killing Christians, throwing them in prison, and he was the big persecutor. And then Saul got saved, amen? Anybody can get saved, and Saul got saved. And you know what happened then? You know how the Christians responded, Acts 9:26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed, or he tried, to join him to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him. Yeah, that's understandable. And they believed not that he was a disciple. I can't really blame them. But you know who it was? It was Barnabas. Barnabas says, I'll stand with him. Barnabas went over and put his arm around Saul. This is what he said. The Bible says he brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way. Hey, Paul was the greatest church leader in the New Testament, wrote much of your Bible, and yet I don't think he may have reached the heights he did without Barnabas putting his arms around him and encouraging him when he needed to encourage him. God bless you if you're an encourager. However, there are times that you will go through things and you do not have a support group. you don't have anybody. There's times that in your grief and your tragedy and in your crisis, no one understands. No one really gets it. No one is there to go through them with you. David found himself here in a situation where the closest friends in his life are ready to kill him. Can you imagine? Not since his flight from Saul had David been so alone as he was this moment. What do you do when you find yourself completely and utterly abandoned? What do you do when the closest people to you are picking up rocks to throw at your head? That's where David was. I want to share a principle. It won't be long this morning, but I want to share a principle from the Bible with you this morning. It's absolutely essential for us in these times in our Christian life. In fact, I believe you will not make it successfully through your Christian life if you don't grab onto this principle here this morning. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. By the way, now he's come to his senses. He hasn't prayed for 16 months. He's done his own thing. Has he schemed? Yes. Has he connived? Yes. He's done all those things, but he hasn't been praying. He was tired of going to the Lord. He was tired of talking to God, and so he decided he would go to the world for his help. And I'll tell you today, friend, this is an indisputable truth. The world's help is very short-lived. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, when Moses got old enough, the Bible says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with God's people than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There is a short season attached of pleasure. There's a friendship there, but it's a fickle friendship. I think of the prodigal son in Luke 15, where he went out and he lived riotously, spent all his money, the Bible says, and as long as he had money and resources, he had all kinds of friends around him, but when the resources ran out, guess what? He found himself in a hog pen, all alone. Here's David. I'm simply saying, the world can't help you for long, amen? The world's help will run out. It's a mistake for us to ever turn to the world for help. Here's David finally turning back to God. That's where real help comes from. It comes from the Lord. Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee shall not slumber. Hey, God's our help. Amen. God is the one that can help us. You see, David here was at a point in his life where you may find yourself at some time, and I tell you, this is not a good place to be at, but David found himself all alone. He had no one to stand by his side, no one to put their arms around him. David had lost just as much as these other men. Everything was burned. David couldn't talk about his city. It was burned. He couldn't talk about his home. It was gone. He couldn't talk about his possessions. They were stolen, but he could talk to his God, and that's just what he did. Instead of getting critical, attacking others, as his men were doing, he goes to the Lord. So in verse 6, I find two Davids. I find the discouraged David. He had lost everything. He had lost the standing in his nation. He had lost his best friend in the world, Jonathan, probably the best friendship in the Bible. And Saul had made sure that friendship was over. He had recently even lost his dignity. Now his friends are gone. Now his closest family is gone. Life has never looked worse for David and his men. They responded in anger and blame. David, the Bible says, but, I like that contrast word, but, big difference between David and his men. But, David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. It's like David sits himself down in a chair. It's like David says, sit down, David, I have a message for you. And the Bible says he encourages himself. And so there were two Davids here. There was the pastor David for the time being and the discouraged David. And the pastor David encouraged the discouraged David. Notice he said he encouraged him in the Lord. He said basically the message he had here was, David, I know that you're discouraged, but I've got a message for you. There is a God. Amen? There's a God. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not. Be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, it is he that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Deuteronomy 31:6. David, remember the words you wrote? You wrote the words, David, just a few years ago when you first started running from Saul. Psalm 37, though an host should encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this while I be confident. For he shall hide me in his pavilion. He shall set me on a rock. Remember, David? There's a God. Buck up, David. There's a God. That's a great message, isn't it? He had more to his message. Not only did he say in the Lord, he added his God. David tells David, not only is God on the throne, not only is God in control, but that God is your God. Amen? Hey, there's a lot of rich uncles out there, but none of them are mine. You ever wish that a rich uncle would come out of the woodwork somewhere? Rich uncles mean nothing to me, unless they're my rich uncle. Amen? I'm just supposed to be honest. I'm glad if you're a rich uncle, but it doesn't mean anything to me unless you're my rich uncle. I got to tell you, God's God and he's my God. Amen? And so he said, your God. Hey, by the way, David would write also, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hey, he's the great shepherd, but better than that, he's my shepherd. Remember the promise of God to your people, David. Exodus chapter 6, verse 7, and I will take you for me a people, and I will be to you a God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Remember that, David. And so David, the Bible says, encouraged himself in the Lord. I illustrate this morning because so many times there's two of us as well. There's the discouraged me, and there's the me that has to encourage the discouraged me. I'm telling you, there's a principle here I want you to grasp on today, because if we are not able to encourage ourselves in the Lord, we're going to get into trouble, because there's not always going to be somebody to do it for you. And so there's the discouraged, and it happens a lot. We can be discouraged. It's probably happened to all of us. We sit in our discouraged chair. Can I tell you today that there's things in my life I have that had the potential to discourage me? I would guess there's something in you, every one of your lives, that have the potential to discourage you. And it's hard sometimes. So you sit and you can wallow. If you're not careful, you can wallow, can't you? I have a daughter that's not living for God. It's a very, very difficult thing for me to daily live with. Pray for her. Pour my heart out to God for her. And so one of the coping mechanisms that I use when we have personal crises like that is I pour myself into the wonderful ministry God's allowed me to serve in. And then in that ministry, we have some people leaving our church. And that's discouraged, as a potential to discourage me. I don't want anybody to leave. No, but none of us want anybody to leave. Amen? No, we don't want people to leave our church. They're our family, our church family. And these are people that I love dearly and have worked alongside and love to continue to be their pastor. But people make choices, and some people have chosen to go another path. And it's a potential to be discouraging. And so these things start to pile on. And like David, we've talked about recurring trouble. It just keeps coming and it keeps coming and it keeps coming. And soon we get to the point, is it even worth going on anymore? Maybe you should just throw in the towel. Maybe it's time to quit. Hey, can I tell you something, folks? Sometimes we need to deliver a message to ourselves. And I don't want to be silly this morning, but just for the purpose of illustration, we need to sit ourselves down. I'm serious. We need to sit ourselves down. Hey, look, buck up, amen? God's still on the throne. God is still God. It gets difficult. It gets hard. It gets discouraging. But God is still God. Hey, I know it looks dark. I know you have questions. I know you have failures. I know better than anybody that guy has failures. And I understand that. And I know that guy makes mistakes. I know that you have a long ways to go. But God is still God. Amen? There's a God in heaven, and that's what David said. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Oh, listen, friend, we've got to grab a hold of this. Listen, the Lord says in Jeremiah 31:3, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. God still loves you in spite of your imperfections. I can't explain all that's happening, but God's on the throne. Remember all the things God's done for you. This, I'm still giving myself this message, amen. Remember all the things God's done for you. I like what the Bible says in 1 Samuel 12:24. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all of your heart. For consider how great things He has done for you. So encourage yourself. Hey, God is not done with you yet, amen. And so we encourage ourselves. Get back on the horse that threw you. Get back in the game. Make things right that need to be made right, and forgive those that you need to forgive, and then continue on for God. Keep going, because God's not done with you yet. Don't quit on God. Don't you dare make this about you. And by the way, that's where we really get in trouble in our life. As soon as we start to turn the focus of our attention on me, poor me, then we're going to get ourselves discouraged, folks. And I can't do that. I cannot make me the focus. I cannot make me the attention. I cannot make anybody, and it's about nobody in the church. We can't put the focus on a person. The focus has got to be Him. It is about what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is about serving Him. It is not about me. And so we need to get our eyes off of me. As soon as you focus on you, focus on your problems, focus on your struggles, then it's going to be, then you're going to get discouraged. We need to be encouraged. But so there's times. There's times we need to encourage ourselves. The Bible says that's what David did. You had discouraged David. You had preacher David. And David encouraged himself. Maybe someone here this morning, I don't know what you're going through this morning, but the very possible in size, a crowd this size, there's some of you that need to sit yourself down. Deliver a message to yourself. I'm not talking about mumbo jumbo feel good type stuff. I'm not talking about raising your self-esteem. The world does that. That's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm talking about encouraging yourself in the Lord your God. Because sometimes there's no one to lean on but God. I like that. I think Corrie ten Boom that said it. That when you find that Jesus, when you find Jesus is all you have, you find that Jesus is all you need. And sometimes we need to get to that point. I'm talking about encouraging yourself in the Lord, your God. I heard a parable one time of a farmer that had an old mule. And one day, this mule was walking around and he fell into the farmer's well. And so the farmer came out of his house and he heard the mule braying in the well, or whatever it is that mules do when they fall into wells. And he heard this noise and he went over and looked down, and sure enough, there was his mule at the bottom of his well. And so he contemplates the problem and he thinks, well, I don't think either the mule is old or the well is dry. I don't think there's really any worth putting the effort and the cost into trying to rescue him. So he called a few of his friends together and he got some help, handed them all a shovel. And they started to shovel dirt down with the idea, just fill in the well, bury the mule, problem will be solved. Didn't want to do it, but that was the easiest way out. Well, when the first shovel of dirt hit the mule's back, he's pretty hysterical. And so the mule didn't like that at all, obviously, as the dirt starts to fall down on him. But as they continued to shovel dirt down on his back, you could say the mule sat himself down. And he said, I've got two choices here. If I stand still, if I just stand here and allow the dirt to keep falling down all over me, then sooner or later I'm going to be buried. And I'll be underground and I'll be dead. That's all she wrote. He didn't like that idea so much. He thought a little more and he said, If I shake off the dirt, and then step up on the dirt as it falls off of me, I might have better fortune in my future. And so that's what he did. And here's how it went. They would shovel. He would shake. That's the best dance I've got right there. He would shake, and then he would step up. They would shovel. He would shake, and they would he would step up. Soon, the long pointed ears of that donkey raised up above the hole, the well, above ground level. Soon his head, and soon he was able to walk out of the well. I don't know if it's a true story or not, but it gives us a great illustration. because people are going to throw dirt on you. It's going to happen. I don't like it. I don't seek it. You don't seek it. But people are going to throw dirt on you. And then when they do, you've got a choice. As they throw dirt on you, you can sit there in discouragement and in sorrow and just keep taking it and keep doing nothing about it. Living in sorrow and discouragement, allow that to cover you up and bury you until you're no good for God. Or you can shake it off. Step it up. Shake it off. Step it up. And be encouraged in the Lord. To do that, though, we have to be able to do what David did. David sat himself down and he encouraged himself. There was two Davids. In verse 6, discouraged David and preacher David. It is very possible that in this room this morning there are two yous. There's discouraged you, and then there's that spiritual you that needs to sit yourself down and encourage yourself in the Lord your God. Amen? That can change our life. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know.